Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for Amina, Kia ora, Kotu, e Fanganui Tara, welcome one and all to another edition of Capital Irish here at Wellington Access Radio on 106.1 FM. It's Anthony Gaffney here on the airways for you today. I'm delighted to be back in the hot seat to bring you this wonderful show. We also have Keeve again in the engine room, as per usual, doing all the heavy lifting and the hard work. So sit back, put your feet up, and for the next kind of 30 minutes or so, hope you enjoy the show. So, well, we know we're definitely in the midst of our winter, and I don't think anyone really has much to be upset about. We've done pretty well so far, wouldn't you say? We've had some good shows on in Wellington over the past few months. You know, we've gone through Koopa Doopa. We've had some good concerts. We've even got Guns N' Roses, I think, to look forward to at the end of the year. There's been some cracking sporting events. And also the mighty Wellington Phoenix are also back in home soil, playing in Wellington, I think, over this weekend, and then also back up onto Auckland to play a game there too. So whilst we have all this kind of fantastic stuff that we've been quite fortunate enough to enjoy, and we should get out there and enjoy it, we also send our best thoughts to other parts of the world and hope they also reach that happy place very, very shortly. But one place that I'd like to kind of talk about, and it's a bit of a segue into my first topic here, is a little town or a little place called Ballymoney Cottage Farm in Limavady, which is a little market town in Londonderry in the north of Ireland. And the great thing about this place is that it's usually home to something called the Stendal Festival. And basically the Stendal Festival, kind of, they work with, you know, artists and audiences, both kind of amateur and professional, to kind of put on this fantastic show to try and develop this cultural platform, which is an annual show and celebrates kind of culture and arts, and basically kind of promotes that kind of part of the world. And as you know, last year a whole lot of these things were kind of kiboshed because of COVID, but this year they've had a good crack at trying to put it on again. So our fingers are crossed that the organisers are and hopefully they are confident that they'll be able to kind of get the green light to proceed with the concert this summer. So it's been split into two parts this year, and one of the headline acts who's going to be performing on Saturday, the 10th of July, over there is a group called Bioga. Now, these are, if you haven't heard of them, they are a hugely popular, kind of more contemporary Irish traditional band, and probably some of their kind of claims to fame that you may have heard of would be they kind of linked up with Ed Sheeran a few years ago, has been one of their more recent successes, and contributed to tracks like, you know, Galway Girl and Nancy Mulligan. Now, Bioga is the Irish word for vivid or lively. And they were formed in County Kerry in about 2002 after the All-Ireland FLA, although the original kind of four members of the band, they all hail from either kind of County Antrim, County Londonderry in Northern Ireland. And those kind of original members would be kind of Damien McKee, who plays on the accordion. There's a multi-instrumentalist, Sean O'Graham, a pianist called Liam Bradley, and Eamon Murray on the baron. And they've also now been joined by Niamh Dunn from County Limerick, who joined in about 2005, and she does vocals and plays a bit of fiddle. And they've had some fantastic kind of accolades they've acquired over the years. They were 2002, they had an album called Mischief, which was kind of voted one of the best top folk albums of 2007 at the Live Ireland Music Awards, and even the German Music Awards. Their third album was shortlisted for a 2010 Grammy Award nomination in the Best Contemporary World Music Award category. And two other kind of almost obscure kind of accolades that you wouldn't kind of associate with an Irish trant band. They were awarded a US House Representative Certificate of Congressional Recognition. And they were described by the Wall Street Journal as the most exciting traditional band to emerge from Ireland this century. So on top of all that, you know, they were invited by Ed Sheeran in 2016 to co-write the song Galway Girl, as I said before, and then featured on another one of Ed Sheeran's songs, Nancy Mulligan. And then following on from that in 2017, the band actually backed Ed Sheeran for his performance of Nancy Mulligan when he played his headline performance at the Glastonbury Festival in England in 2017. So, you know, a few more albums along the way, one called Carousel, which was released in May 2020, which kind of had a bit of a slight style change towards something that was a little bit more pop music kind of orientated, I suppose. And then more recently, in April this year, they released five instrumental tracks on an EP called Breathe. So they've been kind of known as having kind of an adventurous spirit and a passion for, you know, kind of charting maybe the road less travelled. And what's great is that what they're doing is taking something like Irish traditional music and kind of trying to push it in a slightly new direction and exploring those slightly newer boundaries of how it could be more contemporary and relevant for a slightly different audience while still, I guess, maintaining those traditional Irish roots. And the great thing about the quintet is that kind of constantly, the constant evolution, and that they're trying to prove that they can do something a little bit different in that particular genre. So we'd love to see them come on tour here to New Zealand. And so if you're out there listening, kind of start getting your flight sorted, because there'll be plenty of people who want to see you. So just to give myself a bit of a break and to let you listen to Bjoga, this is a tune called How to Tune a Fish. Thank you. you're a fan of contemporary Irish novels or literature, or to be honest, just kind of reading in general, and if you happen to be in and around Newtown next Wednesday, the 26th of May, between 7 and 8.30, you might think to pop into another Chapter Bookshop, which is just on Ridford Street there in Newtown in Wellington. And they basically started a contemporary Irish book club. And the way it's kind of been described is it's a contemporary Irish fiction book group, which is still in its infancy. Please come along and join us if you have an interest in things Irish, reading great literature and meeting some new folk. And they emphasise you do not have to be Irish, which is definitely the case. But their next book that they'll be reviewing, I guess, next Wednesday, is one called The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. And for those of you who don't know John Boyne, he was born in Ireland in 1971. He's the author of about 11 novels for adults, about kind of five he's written for kind of younger readers, and kind of a whole collection of short stories. He did a book in about 2006, more of a novel called The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, which sold about 9 million copies worldwide. It's been adapted for cinema, for theatre, ballet, and even opera. So it's immensely successful novel. And John himself has won three Irish Book Awards and many other kind of international literary awards. And his novels, they're published in over 50 languages, and the man himself lives in Dublin. But the actual book, The Heart's Invisible Furies, is I'll give you a bit of a pre-say on it just to see if it takes your interest, and you can maybe go pop down to Whitcool's and pick up your own copy, or down to your library and grab a copy. So, forced to flee the scandal brewing in her hometown, Catherine Goggin finds herself pregnant and alone in search of a new life at just 16. So she knows she has no choice but to believe that the nun she entrusts her child to will find him a better life. God, doesn't that set the scene really well? So that child, Sybil Avery, who is not really an Avery, or so his parents are constantly reminding him, adopted as a baby, he never quite feels as though he's at home with the family that treats him as if he's a curious pet more than a son, but it's all he's ever known. And so he begins one man's desperate search to find his place in the world, unspooling and unseeing. Cyril is a misguided, heartbreaking, heartbroken fool, buffeted by the harsh winds of circumstance towards one thing that might save him from himself. But when opportunity knocks, will he have the courage? Finally, will he take it? And there's been some fantastic reviews of this particular book from a number of different kind of platforms. One reviewer kind of said, Boyne's masterful storytelling laced with a sense of humour is engaging as he leads us on a journey of epic proportions. Cyril's life is influenced by his unusual upbringing, the political environment, the church, its rules on sexuality, and the reality of HIV. His search for his sense of self takes us all on his personal journey, peppered with love, loss, violence, tragedy, and joy. Combined with colourful characters, the evolution of Ireland, and some underlying commentary on being a writer, this novel is one of my favourites to date. And this other one kind of sets it in a good kind of positive light. An exceptional novel about one man's entire life in a multi-layered generational epic. It's about Cyril Avery, born out of wedlock in a miserable, intolerant Ireland, and it's about his life with adoptive parents who never considered him one of their own, and his birth mother who was shunned by her family. But it's also so much more than that. John Boyne sounds like he's a really angry man, railing against the injustice, misogyny, homophobia and misery of his country's history, and in the process delivering a simply wonderful story. So if you can get your hands on that, give it a read. And if you feel like you want to share any ideas, get yourself down to another Chapter Bookshop on 6 Ridderford Street, as I say, on Wednesday, the 26th of May at 7 o'clock. And there'll be a few other people down there, hopefully, that you can kind of share your thoughts with from the book club itself. So great stuff. So just on that, we'll pause for another bit of music. This one here is The Rocky Road to Dublin from the Dubliners.
Now, if you want to learn English properly, you've got to be able to sing the chorus of this song after hearing it once, okay? It goes like this. Well, in the merry month of May, from my home I started after girls, too nearly broken, and it's a load of father day.
double the 1, 2, 3 from back. Hot the hair, a turn on down the rocky road. All the ways to double and whack for Lolita. In Mullingar that night, I rested him so weary, started by daylight this morning late. And there he took a drop of the moon to keep me half from sinking. That's the Paddy's cure. When the breeze on the drink and they hear the lassie smile, laughing all the while. Happy curious man, but such a heart above and beyond. To double and whack for Lolita. In Dublin next arrived, I thought it such a pity to be so soon deprived. A few of them went steady, then I took a stroll. All of my quality bond with the stone. In the new locality, something crossed me mind. When I left behind the boat, the card I find, the brandy stick, the water required for the road. They sent me corn and grove. Was it much in love on the rocky road? To double and 1, 2, 3 for five. Hot the hair and turn her down the rocky road. And all the ways to double and whack for Lolita. From there I got away, my spirits never failing. Landed on the cage, just as the ship was sailing. Captain Anthony Moore said to go to Paddy when I jumped aboard a cabin from Paddy. Now and among the pigs, did some hearty rigs, danced some hearty jigs. The water round me bubbled and from the body head. Wished myself was there, a bit of fire instead of the rocky road. To double and 1, 2, 3 for five. Hot the hair and turn her down the rocky road. And all the ways to double and whack for Lolita. The boys of Liverpool, when we sink, began to call myself a fool. I took the wound, stand and blood began to boil. Temper, I was losing core of their own trial. They began abusing harami souls as I wish a lady I'd apply. Galway boys were mine, and so I was the humble and grim. The loud hooray, the joy in the affray. Quickly cleared away from the rocky road to double the 1, 2, 3 for five. Hot the hair and turn her down the rocky road. And all the ways to double and whack for Lolita.
Now, if you're a member of the Wellington and Hutt Valley Gaelic Football and Hurling Association, 2021 is a very special year for you guys indeed. It actually marks the 130-year anniversary of the first recorded account of Gaelic games being played in Wellington. And it sounds like it's a fantastic milestone to celebrate. And that's coming up very soon, actually Saturday the 12th of June, so just a couple of weeks away. And ever since the first Irish people arrived on these shores, Gaelic games kind of were always going to follow them. And all the way, all throughout New Zealand, from the very top, you know, from Auckland all the way down to Dunedin, a lot of very early newspaper articles would reflect or describe kind of different games of Gaelic football or hurling, which would draw large crowds of spectators and allow people to kind of participate in the various national pastimes. Here in Wellington, the earliest recorded mention of the ancient sport of hurling dates back to a St. Patrick's Day game, which was held March 1891, say 130 years ago. Since then, you've got various different kind of events, like 1949, the very first Irish Games competition took place in Auckland, and the first provincial games were then played in Christchurch the following year. And in 1953, the first New Zealand Gaelic Athletic Association was formed in Auckland. And, you know, naturally enough, the game was helped or fueled by Irish immigration, which I would say in the large was probably promoted by the various kind of different construction projects that were being kind of built throughout the last 100 years. You know, in the 50s, you had the Menemere Power Station, you know, the kind of Tasman pulp and paper mill. They both attracted a lot of young Irish people who formed, you know, Gaelic football teams or hurling teams when they kind of came over. Some settled in New Zealand after the projects were over and continued to play. Others went back home, very similar to what you kind of get now with migration and people heading back home when they're finished with what they kind of came here to do in the first place. But, you know, by the late 1960s, More of the people who were born in New Zealand started to take up GAA. And in cases, some cases, they were the sons and daughters of those who had migrated there in the first place in the 1950s, which is great, that kind of tradition being passed on. In terms of kind of international competition from what's been happening here in New Zealand, in 1959, the winners of the All-Ireland Gaelic Football Championship, who at the time was Kerry, they visited New Zealand and played an Auckland side at Carlisle Park. Although I believe the visitors won, the game was particularly hard fought, so they gave the All-Ireland champions a run for their money, all right. And then there was like teams from New York used to come in the 60s, 70s, maybe 80s and 90s to kind of play here. And in the 1970s, New Zealand actually joined with Australia to form the Australasian Gaelic Athletic Association. You know, the 1980s and the 1990s saw like plenty of regular competition between Australia and New Zealand, a kind of under 18 level, and that's kind of carried on to where we are now. You know, the 2012 teams from Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, they all competed in New Zealand's first kind of Gaelic football and hurling league, and now each one of those has its own kind of Gaelic Athletic Association. As I say, ours is the Wellington Hutt Valley Gaelic Football and Hurling Association. And that, you know, love of Gaelic sports and the sense of community that it kind of brings with it has continued to this day. And the guys at Wellington Hutt Valley were kind of see a really good turnout of players who all kind of meet and play and then socialise together. And the doors are always open for more. So if you're interested in playing, get onto the website and register your details. But for this particular memorial, this 130-year anniversary, they're looking to gather as many kind of stories as they possibly can. So if you manage to find your way onto the internet to the Wellington and Hutt Valley Gaelic Football and Hurling Association website, there's a link on there. You know, whether you've got a small anecdote or any kind of memories or photographs, you know, the Alexander Turnbull Library has some fantastic photographs of you know, people playing hurling at Camogie at various different parts of New Zealand and here in Wellington. So if you've got some of that at home, they'd love you to kind of share that to kind of contribute towards the festivities and mark that 130-year anniversary. So what they're planning on doing, I'd say on the 12th of June, on that day, first up will be a set of Gaelic games at Awakarangi Park in Upper Hutt. So the Canterbury hurling team, I think, are challenging the recently crowned New Zealand champion hurlers. And they're also going to stage a past versus present men's football match and a women's football game. So plenty of going on there from a sports point of view. And then after all that action, everyone en masse will head back to the Hutt Valley Irish Society to continue those celebrations. And I'm sure they'll kind of go on to the wee hours in the morning. So stay tuned to their Facebook page. Look at the actual events page. And please, by all means, get stuck in, particularly if you want to have a go yourself and you're interested in playing, kind of get in touch with those guys. So in terms of any kind of other future events that are coming up, there's a couple just to make note of. One's called The Look of the Irish by Opera Tunity. Now, Opera Tunity are a collection or a troupe who do various different shows up and down New Zealand, but this particular one's been described as frantic fiddling, breathtaking ballads, jigs and jollity, Irish jokes. You'll have Ireland in your heart, to be sure, to be sure. And it stars the amazing artists like Susan Boland, Alex Foster, Jessica Hinden, Paul Carnegie Jones, Russell Dixon and Stuart Coates. That particular one, get yourself down to the Hutt City Church, which is on 22 Marsden Street in Lower Hutt. Apparently it's for all ages. Monday the 26th of July from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. That's Monday the 26th of July from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Another good event to look out for, organised by the Wellington Irish Society in partnership with D4, is the Wake and Sing Song. So that's on Thursday, the 27th of May, at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock at the D4 on Allen Street. So last year, D4 had their first Irish Wake. It was actually a really great opportunity for our community here in Wellington to come together really and support one another through bereavement. You know, during the wake, people shared all their different stories and photos and memories and reflections on the lives of those people who sadly are no longer with us. And I know we're often separated by great distances, living here with some of our loved ones back home, and can be here as well, you know, including actually some of our support network. So take that opportunity to get down there and have a good crack with a few of the other people who are probably in the same boat as you and wanted to kind of share some of their stories. You know, because we know there's so many of us that can't travel to be with our family and friends. It's really important to kind of carry that tradition on into 2021. So get down to D4 on the 27th of May, 7 o'clock. Bring your photos, your souvenirs, your mementos, anything that you want to kind of remember your friends, your family. And basically the evening will kind of get on with a few drinks and more than likely a few songs to lift spirits. And that sounds like a really good way to end the show. For now, if you could just keep an eye on our web pages and any online content for what's going on in Wellington, thoroughly recommend that you get in touch or look for what's happening with the Hutt Valley Irish Society. There's also the Wellington Irish Society and also websites for Friends of Ireland and the Irish Business Network of New Zealand. There's always stuff going on. There's always plenty for you to get involved with. And if you're a fan of everything from Ireland or Irishness, or you're Irish yourself and want to kind of meet new people, they're the places to definitely check out. So as always, stay safe. Let's keep pushing on through 2021 with all of our positivity. We'll catch you here next week on Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Slán leat, agus go raibh agat, caithfidh diano a í a coitú.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, Hutt Valley Irish Society and Butler's Chocolates. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.